Or is it none of my business? Seems real quick.
Yeah, it may or may not be working.
Second one. One.
Take it, big guy.
It's recording. It just may not be the right thing.
Romans 13, verse 13. We stopped in, we studied rioting, which is the Bacchanalia ceremony. Drunkenness is the wine of self-seeking. Chambering is the bed of adultery. And now wantonness. What? Wantonness is asogia. It means unbridled excess of any kind. And it's not just excess of drinking or drugs or something. It's any kind of excess or over the top. It's, if you look up wantonness in the dictionary, there's a picture of Kenneth Copeland. And we could go through all these, and but I'm the all the scriptures, but I guess you got the idea. Not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife. Strife just means contention, variance, wrangling. But envying, or not in, envying is an interesting word. It's zelos in the Greek. It's where we get the word zealous. When it's positive, it's zeal and fervor. When it's a negative attached to it, it's rivalry, jealousy, or indignation. Where we get the word huffy. So, envying is self-righteous indignation. What? So, do you understand that it's positive if it's in when it's talking about to be zealous, it's zelos, it's zeal and fervent of spirit, and it, when it's got a negative before it, it's rivalry, jealousy, indignation. All right? What? Yeah. Now, the next thing, the last verse here in the in this chapter is really interesting. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. Now this has some very interesting and subtle implications. But first, let's again study this word, put on. We've talked about it three times now in this few verses, about the word put on is endio in Greek, and it means to literally slide into. And it's how can you do that? How do you slide into? Well, let's see if we can find out. Go to Galatians 3. Start in verse 19. Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgression, till the seed should come or should appear to whom the promise was made, and is ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Now a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one, and we spent a lot of time studying that the other day. Is the law then against the promise of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept, garrisoned under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. For you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now, here the word put on is connected to baptism. And it gives us the mystery of what really this putting on is, and what the mystery of baptism is. Because you slide into the water, you flow in, you know, when you're baptized, and that is to be your burial. And so by the act of baptizing, if it's your death, then you have slid into, you've put on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's automatic. Do you understand?
Yeah, that's wild.
And it's critical.
It's almost like how long will you resist the divine impulse? It's just stop resisting and flow.
You remember all of the scriptures in Isaiah about flowing up, that the nations shall flow up to Jerusalem. Well, it's the same kind of, doesn't seem possible. Now, baptism then, it's critical. The baptism is your understanding that you were crucified, and now there is a death. And there cannot be a resurrection without a death. And if there is a death, then there has to be some recognition of it. You can no longer continue to live in the same, you know, you can no longer lean on your own arm of understanding. You no longer have all of these opinions and ideas because you've been, it's just as if you've been buried. Now what, and unless he lives, you're dead meat. Now you cannot get by with saying, well, no, my flesh is redeemed, because flesh cannot be redeemed. All right? So now let's look at Ephesians 4. Just go to the right a few pages.
One of the tie-ins here that I'm hearing is you don't get baptized really until you give up. Resisting.
Well, you can get baptized as many times as you want to. But you don't. But until this happens, you're just getting wet.
I'm really baptized.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, verse 23. Or let's go to 22 first. No, you can't sue. We have to start in 17. Mm-hmm. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. Now again, you read that or you heard sermons about it, it's talking about all these bad things that the bad people do. No, all uncleanliness with greediness is everything that originated in you or with you. Capisce? But you have not so learned Christ, if so be that you have heard him. Again, that's the question. Have you heard? If you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off or lay aside concerning the former manner of life of the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Now, so again, it's this idea. The word put on is endio. Again, it's sliding into. And so now we've seen what sliding into is the real meaning. I mean, it has to be seen in connection with baptism. Because in baptism, it's your total death. It isn't your, it's you gone and he lives. All right, one more. Colossians 3:10.
It's not put on like you put on a red coat instead of a blue coat.
No. Or you patch up the old red coat. Let's start in verse 1. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things in the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Now, mortify doesn't mean you try to die. Mortify is an understanding and acceptance of a reality. And again, the only way that you can mortify this body of sin and death isn't by beating yourself with chains or anything else. The only way you can mortify it is that the reckoning that you owe your thoughts, your emotions, your feelings, nothing. The moment you give the slightest importance to one feeling, the minute you question, what am I going to do about this, then you've resurrected the entire beast. Is that
overwhelmed? Because the stampede will come.
Yeah, we the horses. Everybody understand that?
Yeah. Paul talks a lot about this reckoning
thing. Yeah. For which things the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which you also walked some time when you lived in them, but now you also put off these things. You lay them aside. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man. Now the new isn't you. The new is Jesus Christ in you, the hope of glory. He doesn't need to be taught anything. He never has any questions about what to do next. He never gives the slightest thought for tomorrow. And that's your life. That's your inheritance. A little bit. So you've put on endio. You've slid into the new man. There's no effort on your part. and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, black or white, male or female, every distinction is gone. And that has to define us. Now, what's this sacerdotal spirit done in the church? Sacerdotal meaning there's a separation between what's spiritual and what's not, and what's this and what's that. There is an incredible a friend of ours, George Barnum, just wrote a book called Pagan Christianity. And this is a sentence in it. When Christianity was born, it was the only religion on the planet that had no sacred objects, no sacred persons, and no sacred places. And I promise you, Christianity, true Christianity, is still the same. It has no sacred places, no sacred persons. In other words, no one is above another. And no sacred places or objects. No. Can you see that the only religion that has ever existed that had no sacred persons, no sacred places, and no sacred objects? Now, what have we done to his mystery? It's just, for 300 years, that was true. That's why Barn is so fascinated with this place, even though he hasn't been here yet, but all his friends have. It's because without us, by total accident, we have no sacred building, we have no sacred places, and we have no sacred persons. And it would be ludicrous for us to say, well, let's go on a trek to a holy place. It would be ludicrous to think that for anybody to think anybody else had it is any more spiritual than anybody else. You see how important this is?
You know, you asked a minute ago, what have we done with it? And what popped into my mind is, we can see what we've done with it by looking at the franchise system. We've turned it into a series of franchises with local outlets for the national headquarters.
Right, there's a great deal, the thing about, again, the reason that there was 120 at the Feast of Pentecost that received the mystery of the time and space opened up and they saw the fire is that 120 was the number that was needed to have a new community in all of the ancient times in Hebrew. And so the new community was born. Boom. And from that time forward, and I know this is what there really isn't any, there can never be any other new community per se, because you're part of the total and as a Christian. So that's why if the seed brings forth some 30, some 60, and some 100. It can't bring 120 because that would say there's a new community. It has to always be 30, 60, or 100. You see what I'm saying?
Not really.
Well, when in the first churches, they were all in the homes. They were for 300 years. And that there's records of how some of the homes had to be remodeled so that they could fit 60 people. Or more, maybe. I don't know. But the point of it is, there was never a building that was sacred, i.e. a house of God. It was just a house. There was never any, because they totally understood the idea that he shall be worshipped. You know, when he told the woman at the well, you should no longer worship me in Jerusalem, but you shall worship me everywhere in all ways, in spirit and in truth. There's never a separation. There's never a time of... And the only feast that was ever celebrated on a weekly basis was the Agape Feast, because it was a constant reminder, and they ate the full meal. And then after the fullness of the meal, after they were sated, then they had the communion. But the whole, what we do, what we've done with this is just... we've made it into just another religion that you pick and choose from for your, from your spiritual supermarket.
This goes back, though, farther. It brings to my mind, Christ invited Peter to the mountaintop to witness his transfiguration, and Peter...
Peter, James, and John.
Right, so Peter, it says in Scripture, it says... the guy who says, you know, let's do this again. This is really cool. You know, let's build a shrine. Let's build a church.
Let's build three churches.
Exactly.
Three.
So the instigation of this notion goes all the way back.
Oh, yeah, sure. Everybody wants to do it. But it was never permitted.
Well, it's our nature. I mean, if it works once, then we need to duplicate it.
Is this why the temple was destroyed?
Well, yeah, because all the worship was then centered in him. Could never be any place else.
So it was religion outwardly until he came and destroyed all that.
Well, again, remember, we went through all that.
When we read Melito, it's the pattern.
It was the pattern to be seen.
It's just the way we are. I mean, if we had a great Passover and it was, you know, everybody was... it's spiritually transcendent, and it was just unbelievable. Well, we got to hurry up and make notes so that next year we sing the same songs,
exactly the same way,
and we serve the same food in order to make it happen again, that we can make it happen.
Oh, that's a good point.
That's why I'm divorced twice, by the way.
Yeah.
If you know what I mean, and I think you did.
The times that we've changed where we've done our feasts. You know, we used to go to Oklahoma. We used to go to these different places. But I don't ever long for. You know, it's like what's happening right now is always overwhelmingly the realest thing ever, and that's sort of an indication of what we're talking about. We don't want to set up a shrine
in Oklahoma.
We've always done it this way.
Well, we'll study make no provision for the flesh tomorrow, because I have just ran out of time.
That's a pretty radical thing for Barna to be talking about, actually. Because everybody in his audience probably is, you know, that he's writing to is part of that, you know, they have sacred times, places, and stuff.
Yeah, Barn, we've had some great talks. So simple. It is the simplest thing in the universe. All you have to do is say, I don't want to do that anymore. I don't want this other crap. Anybody else? Take a big guy.
I know somebody who knows how to turn off the machine.